Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio with my guy, Jack Heinrich, and it is probably the best day that we've had so far in 2026 weather-wise. I mean, it perfect conditions out today.
It's fantastic, and it's nice that we got some baseball on the TV, and we're going back-to-back on Blackhawks Live, so there we go.
Yeah, you're right. This is the first. This is our second of a back-to-back.
Yep.
for Blackhawks Live. So we're hopefully gonna have our A game, and we don't slack in this show. I was driving in, and the weather outside, I was like, this is the kind of day when you were in elementary school where you would like try to convince your teacher that it's like, can we do class outside today?
100%.
Like that's how nice. We should have maybe just parked outside our station, maybe just did this from outside. That would have been cool.
Get a Comrex and
exactly.
We'll just sit by the river.
Yeah. So we did have a show yesterday, and we talked about the Hawks going into the New Jersey Devils game with some of the changes that they were making, with Anton Frandell moving from wing to center, and all the new line combinations, the five forward power play unit. We'll get to maybe that a little bit later on in the show, but I do want to start with some great news, but some bittersweet news when we saw earlier today that the Blackhawks announced that Troy Murray has been named to the Blackhawks Hall of Fame as the first ever builder inductee. Now, when the Hawks announced at the beginning of the season their centennial year, they announced plans to have a Blackhawks Hall of Fame that is going to reside at the Blackhawks Community Ice Center that is officially up and running, the expansion of the Fifth Third Arena for the Blackhawks. And so the induction is going to be coming in a couple weeks. The official date, I think, is Friday, April 10th, but the Hawks are going to celebrate at the game on Saturday, April 11th. And so there'll be like a big ceremony to have all those inductees, but I saw the announcement, and I was really moved by it. And I was glad that Troy was able to get his due inside the Blackhawks Hall of Fame. Because if you're not familiar with the criteria of what the Blackhawks ended up doing, is they essentially had three categories. They had one where it's like one player from the modern era, another player from the heritage era, and then the Blackhawks would be able to induct a builder such as a broadcaster, a coach, or another contributor for an inclusion in the annual class. And so Troy Murray ends up getting that bill. And I do want to play the sound that Blackhawks chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz, they put out on social media early today announcing the decision that Troy will be inducted into the Blackhawks Hall of Fame. Oh, awesome video by the Blackhawks and by chairman and CEO Danny Wirtz. And when I heard Danny say lasting impact on and off the ice for the Blackhawks, it's like, that is like the epitome of Troy Murray, because what he did as a player, then what he did as a broadcaster, but then also the human side of it, I feel like he was all encompassing. And so that's going to be a special night on April 11th when we're able to celebrate all the inductees into the Blackhawks Hall of Fame class, but specifically our very own Troy Murray.
Yeah, it was very cool to see waking up, and I think Danny said it really well, everything he did as a player. And I think we've talked about how even like all the road broadcasters, or it was always a parade coming in to say hi to him, and just how he would make you feel and everything. So I think that's the perfect honor for him, and with this being the first year, it makes sense to put him in there, and it'll be cool to see for sure on that Saturday.
So the other members that are going to be part of this Blackhawks Hall of Fame class, so all the players that have their jersey number retired, so there are 9 Blackhawks. It's Glenn Hall, Pierre Palat, Keith Magnuson, Chris Chelios, Bobby Hall, Dennis Savard, Stan Mikita, Tony Esposito, and Marian Hossa. All of those basically have automatic bids to be in the Blackhawks Hall of Fame. So they are already, they'll be part of the inaugural class. And then the two, the modern era and then the modern era and the heritage era, Steve Larmer and Duncan Keith were the two guys that ended up getting votes. So very special class that will be recognized on April 11th for the Blackhawks before, I believe, they're taking on the St. Louis Blues. Is that a 4 o'clock game? 4 o'clock.
I know it's a little earlier. I don't know if it's 4.
That'll be nice. That'll be nice. So get there early because it'll be a special ceremony. All right, let's get to some Blackhawks talk. Can you believe, Jack? 8 games left. Like we're in the stretch.
I can't believe it. It feels like we're just getting going, and then it's 70 degrees outside.
Yeah,
and the season's winded down.
Crazy. So the Blackhawks. I want to start here. The Blackhawks had an off day today because they obviously came back from a long 4-game road trip that didn't go particularly well. I know the Hawks picked up a 4-3 victory to start the road trip against the New York Islanders, even though they barely hung on in the third period. The last three were not great. I will say the New Jersey game was probably the best of them all, but I think the Hawks gave up at least 40 scoring chances in every single one of those games. So defensively, Hawks are having a hard time, but there was a moment in one of the games. It was the New York Rangers game where physicality became a talking point and sticking up for teammates. And so the Hawks had an off day at practice today. And I think the Winnipeg Jets also practiced in Chicago around 1 o'clock. And so we have our guy his name is Andrew, who runs the Blackhawks focus account. He was at the Blackhawks practice facility today to go watch the Winnipeg Jets skate. And he ended up swinging by to the Blackhawks side just to see if anyone was on the ice. And he noticed that there were like 8 players on the ice that were practicing fighting, and not necessarily fighting, but just self-defense. And so the Blackhawks ended up bringing in their pro scout, Wade Brookbank, who is the brother of Sheldon Brookbank, who was once a Blackhawks player and once an assistant coach under Jeremy Colleton, to kind of help facilitate this. And so I can't help but wonder if this is kind of the Blackhawks they want to invest some time into this part of the game because the Hawks do want to show that team unity. And there's no Nick Foligno on the roster anymore. He dropped the gloves a lot. There's no Connor Murphy. He's another player that would drop the gloves. And there's no Colton Dock anymore. That's a role that he started to be like kind of like an enforcer type to police player. And he's now no longer part of the Blackhawks. And so I think the Hawks are like, we need some of our guys to step up and just get uncomfortable, and they might find themselves in situations where they do have to stick up for a teammate. And so I like the fact that the Hawks are doing this. And I also want to say, this is not uncommon. Like, I remember in years past, like, a practice would end and Foligno, or like in the dynasty era, it would be like Brandon Bolig, and those guys would practice fighting other teammates, like just techniques. And so this isn't something earth shattering for the Blackhawks, but I do think now that the Hawks it's a really young roster and they've lost most of their fighters, it's kind of, guys are going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable. And so I appreciate that the Blackhawks spent some time working on that away from the spotlight on an off day for the Blackhawks today.
Yeah, it's a good thing for them to learn, because like you said, a lot of those fighters are gone now. And it was a rough road trip where they did get roughed up a little bit and they had chances to maybe drop the gloves, but just making sure these guys are getting comfortable with it moving forward. You want to make sure you can protect your teammates. And we saw a little of that at the beginning of the year, but now the team's a little different now. But even in the stretch run, that's still important to make sure your guys are all right out there.
No question. All right, let's get to our injury report sponsored by Illinois Bone and Joint Institute. Injured after hours, they've got you covered with access to their clinical team beyond regular clinical hours. Learn more at IBJI.com. Artem Lefshinov got added to the injury report though in the last game yesterday because he suffered a small fracture in his left hand on the opening game of the road trip against the New York Islanders that he ended up playing through against the Flyers and the New York Rangers before. I don't know how it got reported. Maybe he was like, my hand hurts. Maybe it's beyond something that's a bruise or whatever. Hawks end up pulling him from the lineup, against the New Jersey Devils and decide, let's make sure that we take a look at this. And so the Hawks returned to Chicago last night. The expectation was that Lefshinov was going to get more imaging and tests done today. And so I imagine we're going to get some more information tomorrow, at morning skate on whether or not we see Lefshinov, honestly, for the rest of the season, because there are only 8 games left. And the Hawks, after tomorrow's game, they're going to practice on Wednesday and they're going to dart for a 3-game road trip. And so we'll see if Lefshinov is going to be part of the mix over the last couple of weeks, or if the Hawks just make a potential decision to just shut him down for the year, depending on the recovery process. And so that's difficult. And so you also have Matt Grzelcyk, who's out of the lineup he missed the entire road trip because of an injury. So Jack, Alex Vlasic was their oldest defenseman and he's 24 years old. I mean, that is, we heard Jeff Blashill talk about it after last night's game. Mm-hmm. He said, we have a decor that all of them could probably be playing in the NCAA tournament right now, or most of them. I mean, when you put it like that, I'm like, yeah, that it's such a young decor.
Yeah, and I think you said it yesterday, Dana Gray, the Ice Hogs announcer, said all these guys had played in there, and a lot of them played in there like this year or last year. So yeah. Super young, trying to figure it out.
Played in Rockford.
Rockford,
yeah. Not the NCAA
tournament. No.
I knew what you meant, I wanted to make sure our listeners knew what you meant.
Good clear up. And it just shows their youth, and that was some good quotes by him too, saying like, hey, we're still young, we're still trying to figure it out. It was a frustrating road trip, but there, I mean, I think there is positive signs, and I think you need the coach to, I don't want to say got on him, but it was like these last two games weren't acceptable, but like then the game yesterday kind of fell off. It's like there's a good balance where he's like defending them, but like also holding them to a standard. And it's, I mean, you just look at their lines, and you said Alex Vasek was the most veteran defenseman. Was he like 24?
24.
So you're going to have some growing pains.
And they say the threshold of games that teams want to hit until you know who a defenseman is 300 games. And I don't think Alex Vlasic has not hit the 300 game mark. So they
it's a few years.
It's still, yeah. So he's still a few years away. And you mentioned too, I think with Jeff Blashill too, after the trade deadline where the Hawks just unloaded Dickinson, Foligno, Murphy, Colton Dock. Now you got the injury to Matt Grzelcyk. So like you lose all these veteran presences and you add in these young guys. I'm not saying that the standard has been lowered, but Jeff can't go in there. He can't walk inside the Blackhawks locker room now and just start flipping over tables because he understands that this locker room got significantly younger, and you bring in Anton Frandell, you bring in Sacha Boisvert, who are essentially just parachuted them in from their respective, you know, from college and from Sweden, and they're going to be growing pains from them. So it's almost like the Hawks just have to find a way to grind through these last eight games, take a breath in the summer, and then once Anton Frandell and hopefully Roman Kantsev next year, once those guys can kind of recollect themselves and get a full training camp, get a preseason in and kind of get some runway, then you can kind of reset the higher standard of what they want to play. But right now it's hard to go in there and say, you know, we've got to be better, we've got to do this, because it's like the Hawks are literally the youngest team in the NHL right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's, I think a lot like after the deadline is they opened up all these spots and you're seeing like Frandell and Boisvert come in and like what they call up Ethan Del Mastro, and now Kevin Korchinski's up. So a lot of like the second half of the year is seeing where these guys are. I mean, we saw it yesterday. Frandell played center. He was playing well with Bedard on the top line. He's like, I want to see him at center, and they drop him down. So there's going to be a lot of moving around, and hopefully they're using this game experience for the players to get game experience, and then for the coaching staff, you want them to gather information, like you're saying, going into the offseason, and you build a plan, and then you have training camp, and then they're hitting the ground running, hopefully, next year.
Right. And we mentioned the decor. Blashill also said after last night's game is their oldest center was 21 years old yesterday, or 22.
That's crazy.
I think it was 22. I think it's Frank Nazar, because it's Connor Bedard. He's 20 years old. Anton Frandell, 18. And then you got Sacha Boisvert, fourth line center. I mean, literally all four centers from the Blackhawks, yes, were 21 or younger. So, I mean, it's
all those first rounders are now down the middle.
They're very young. All right. We got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Mike Palm from Circa is going to join us next, and we'll look around the NHL. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize stay and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. Every time they win, someone will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks Centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people will get an $100 credit on their Circa app account. Enter once and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win, home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. Let's go to the phone line now and bring in our guy, Mike Palm from Circa. I imagine it's just a quiet day in Vegas today. Nothing really going on in the hockey world over there, right?
Well, the news was a little shocking Sunday afternoon when we learned that they were making the coaching change, and not only was it that they were going to get rid of Cassidy, but they were going to bring in Tortorella. So, you know, it's a desperate team. It's a team that a lot of folks around town think is going to miss the playoffs. I don't think so, because they have to worry about what's going on in the Central with those teams. They just have to hold on to the third spot in the Pacific, which I think they will do, because, you know, the Kings have not played that well in trying to catch them here, although they have a weak schedule, and Seattle might have too much work to do. That might be their biggest threat, the Kraken. But both Grubauer and DeCourt are playing pretty well. But we'll see what happens. We'll see if this shakes them up. Typically, you get a dead coach bounce in hockey. Certainly happened with Columbus this year and Ricky Bonus. I remember when the Leafs fired Backpack a few years ago. I think they went on a 6 or 7 game winning streak as well. So we'll see. I don't necessarily know if it was Cassidy's the issue. Yeah, you know, he's not well liked. But I think their issues are more between the pipes than they are behind the bench.
Yeah, it feels like Cassidy's shelf life is pretty short, maybe like 3 to 4 years, but a lot of the underlying numbers suggested that Vegas was still one of the best teams in the NHL. But then you look at the goaltending, the save percentage, and they're second worst in the entire league. And it's kind of the old adage, like, find me a good goaltender and you'll see a good coach. I don't know if, do you feel like, here, let me say this. It kind of feels like a win-win right now for Vegas, because they could potentially get that new coach bump going into the playoffs. But then they don't have the commitment of committing to John Tortorella if things do go sideways, and they can kind of just open up their search in the summer. So two questions. Do you think they will get that new coach bump with Torts? And then two, do you think he will potentially be the coach beyond this year as well?
Well, I always bet it. I always bet the first 3 games of a team getting a new coach, unless there's extraordinary circumstances. But if the coach is fired, I usually do, because typically it's because the message became tired or in the locker room or whatever. So I think they'll get that. Whether that, you know, it has to be a long bump for it to translate into the playoffs. It's interesting. I don't know if Tortorella, if this is what he wants to do, if he wants to commit, you know, to the next 3 to 5 years. I think probably got enough energy in him and wants to be around the game, and it's a pretty darn good franchise to get involved with. So, remember Carter Hart's coming back from injury too. So I get it. He's been away and he didn't get many hours in net before he got hurt, but I guess that's the bright side to look at it. Maybe Carter Hart could get hot. It's a lot to ask, but maybe that's a possibility. I have to say, you know who the team is that's trailed the most minutes this year in the NHL? It's not Vancouver. It's the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Man, that's wild. That was going to lead into my next question, the goaltending. If Carter Hart is healthy and was able to kind of get maybe 1 or 2 regular season games going into the playoffs, who do you think is starting game one? Is it Aiden Hill? Is it Carter Hart? Is it Akira Schmid? Like, who would your money be on right now?
I would still, but, well, Tortorella can come in and have no commitment to anyone, right?
So, right.
It's not like he has to be holding to Hill. I would make Hill the favorite. Ultimately, they made that decision when they won the Cup a couple of years ago to keep him and move Thompson. I know that was more a locker room thing, that there were some locker room issues with Thompson. Obviously, if you look in retrospect, you could have got a lot for Aiden Hill at that time coming off the Cup. And certainly Logan Thompson has played better, notwithstanding the 5-4 game here in town Saturday night. So I would make Aiden Hill probably a $2.40 favorite to be starting game one in the, at the playoffs.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Tortorella overlap with Carter Hart in Philadelphia? Was it a year or something? Like, I think they overlap. So I don't know if maybe there's the trust factor too between Carter Hart and Torts, but yeah, I think Aiden Hill is probably the game one starter, but I do think Torts does have that rapport with Carter Hart that if he needs to lean on him, he would probably have no problem doing so.
Been so long ago, Charlie. I mean, not Tortorella, but Hart.
I know. That's why I was...
I think you're right. And if that's the case, then that's an interesting angle as well.
So after I digested the Vegas aspect of the move, my immediate next thought was, man, if you're the Edmonton Oilers and Bruce Cassidy just became available, I would want to go down that route. However, my plan is probably going to fail because the Edmonton Oilers would probably have to ask permission from the Vegas Golden Knights to interview him. And there's no way Vegas is doing that, right? So like I almost thought, like, could you imagine the scenario if Edmonton sees, oh, they decided to make a coaching change because their spirit of the team wasn't up to par? I could say the same. I could make the same case for the Edmonton Oilers, but I think the Vegas Golden Knights would hang up pretty quickly if they asked for permission.
Oh, why would they? They would never give permission. It wouldn't make any sense because you're going to end up, right? I mean, if the playoffs started today, it's Las Vegas at Edmonton.
Right. One.
So I don't think that they would do that. They overlapped for 2 years in Philadelphia, 22-23 and 23-24. You know, Edmonton's interesting. I think they've started to try to play a little better defensive hockey, at least the game in Utah last week and the game Saturday against Anaheim at Edmonton. I was a little more impressed with their commitment to defense. You know, Connor Ingram's an interesting guy. I was never thought that he was going to be the guy, right? It was going to be Yari off the big trade. Yari's ranked 61st in goals against. Obviously, the trades worked a little better for Skinner and for Pittsburgh, although Arturo Silva seems to be their number one guy right now. Ingram is, you know, he's this OCD guy. He's a strange guy, and he has his quirks. He could get hot in the playoffs. I'm not putting that past him. And in the Pacific Division, anything could happen. I mean, there's as far as we want to say what a job Quenneville did, and I know he's still beloved in Chicago, and most people don't think the punishment fit the crime if there was a crime on his part. Let's remember, if they were in the Eastern Conference, Anaheim wouldn't be making the playoffs. So, unless you're going to say he takes them to a division championship in the first year, it's in a really, really, really weak division.
I was just about to say, it was funny to hear Connor McDavid's comments the other day of him saying it's essentially been a pillow fight in the Pacific Division, because that's exactly what it is, because I think it's now 11 teams in the Eastern Conference would be tied for first or better in the Pacific Division if they were in that division. I mean, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't remember a division ever being like this. And we're going to set a record in the East. I mean, I think 97 is the most points a team's ever had and not made the playoffs. And right now, they're pacing that a team with 99 points won't make it in the East.
It's wild because the Toronto Maple Leafs, if the Maple Leafs were in the Western Conference, they would be 2 points out of a playoff spot because Nashville is sitting in the second wild card right now at 77. I mean, that's how awful, even just in general, the Western Conference is outside of the big three of Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota. So it's going to be a fascinating playoff race to watch down the stretch here. But also that once we get into the playoffs too, we're all obviously going to be keeping an eye on who's going to come away from that three-headed monster in the Central Division. But there might be teams both in the East and the West that come out of this thing, and we're like, nobody saw that coming at the beginning of the year.
Perhaps.
Like Buffalo, I guess I could make a case. Like, I mean, just unbelievable what a turnaround they've had.
They're legitimate, too. Now they've got to get through Tampa as a problem. I think the Metro's wide open, though, because I never believe Carolina's going to do anything because they just don't do it in the playoffs. That style they play simply has not worked in the playoffs. And you can go get 100 points every year, but they can't even, you know, they can't even get to a Stanley Cup final. So I could see cases where someone in the Metro that we weren't talking about or expecting to come out of there. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Columbus came out. I wouldn't be. I think Jet Greaves is a very good goaltender, and they played very, very well under Ricky Bonus. I don't think Pittsburgh has enough goaltending right now unless Skinner got hot. The Islanders, to me, are a bit of a fraud team. But I don't know if you're watching this game, which I am. Pittsburgh on Long Island tonight. There were no goals in the first period and eight in the second. The Islanders were up 3-1 with 12 minutes to go in the period, and now trail 5-3 to Pittsburgh. And there's your Vezina winner, Sorokin's given up all five. So, and he is going to win the Vezina. I think he's certainly ahead in the market. So, I mean, that wouldn't shock me. On the other side, I know Ottawa lost their defenseman. I thought Ottawa was sneaky here. They got to get healthy on the blue line to have any shot. But they've been hanging in there.
Yep.
With all the injuries, you know, I think they were the team that gave up the least shots per game. And once they had these injuries, they had to change their style, right? And they had to know they had to post their number every night because they weren't going to be able to limit teams on shots anymore. So I do think that the East is wide open.
Mike, great stuff. We have three more shows left after this one for the rest of the season. We're going to try to have you on every week moving forward to kind of break down the playoff race. So thank you for doing this. I know it's been a while since we connected, but look forward to checking in on you weekly down the road here as we get down to the nitty gritty in the playoff race. So thanks again.
Great, Charlie. Look forward to it.
All right, that is Mike Palm. We got one final break, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here and Jack Heinrich with you, putting a wrap on this show. Really quick, I want to send my best wishes to Rockford Ice Hogs general manager and president of hockey operations, Mark Bernard, who underwent a successful liver transplant. It was announced a few days ago, and he is resting comfortably. I actually was able to exchange texts with him a little bit ago, and it sounds like he's doing well. And yeah, surgery went well, and it's great news for Bernie. So wishing Bernie a speedy recovery. Also, Jack, tomorrow, Blackhawks hosting the Winnipeg Jets. Jonathan Toews in town, part two, the captain's return to Chicago. And he was at Wrigley Field over the weekend, throwing out the first pitch with his entire Winnipeg Jets teammates. He got a great ovation. And then who else got a great ovation was Connor Hellebuyck and Kyle Connor, who helped Team USA win a gold medal at the 2026 Olympics. So it's great to see the former Blackhawks captain. I imagine they had a great time in Chicago both yesterday and today with the weather.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure the former captain was showing them all the spots to hit, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. So looking forward to watching Jonathan Toews tomorrow. And it got me thinking too, like, could this possibly be the last game that we see Jonathan Toews play at the United Center? His ice time has been dwindling with the Winnipeg Jets. So he's kind of been relegated to more of like a bottom six role and, you know, minutes like 11, 12, 13 minutes a night. So we'll see what his playing career is at the end of this season. But I imagine the Hawks aren't, they're probably not going to do obviously like a welcome back video again, but I think it is going to be cool for Blackhawks fans to potentially get one last time to kind of say a thank you. And it is unfortunate too, Jack, that Winnipeg is not in a playoff spot. They are barely in the hunt. I mean, it's a long shot right now. They're 3 points out of a playoff spot. They do have a game in hand, but they have three teams to jump. And so the odds are certainly stacked against them. I was really hoping to see Toews play some meaningful hockey to see what he could do in the playoffs. I don't know who could have predicted the Winnipeg Jets going from the very best team in the NHL regular season to just non-playoff team in the span of a year, especially when you add a guy like Jonathan Toews. But it was cool to see Jonathan Toews this year be playing hockey again. And again, we'll see what happens after this season and whether he does officially hang it up. but it was great to see him kind of return on his own terms. And now he gets to walk away from the game, whatever that is, on his terms.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing we always hear players say when they're talking about, like, if their teammate retires, like, oh, he went out on his own. Like, I think that's a big, I guess, like, pride thing, or just like you want to hang it up when you want to. So it was good to see him come back. And it is weird, the West is just wacky, how the Jets just fall,
the wacky, like, West.
Yeah,
it's not just the Wild West, it's no, the wacky West.
Yeah, so yeah, it seemed like he's just like, oh, he'll be, you know, third or fourth liner on the team that was the best, and he'll get to play in the playoffs, and we'll see how he does. And it's just not how it's gone. But it'll be fun. I didn't even realize they had another game against him till like a month ago. So just like, there's so many games one after another, you're not really looking too far out. But yeah, it should be fun. I'm sure the fans will be into it like they normally are, and just a little bit more with Taves back, just getting that one last glimpse. And I think it's a good point. If it is his last game, some fans will probably want to make it out for it. Potentially.
Yeah.
Not if it is, like, potentially.
Right. And last thing too, tomorrow will be Anton Frondell's first game at the United Center. So it's, and Sacha Boisvert for that matter. It was nice that they got to start on the road to kind of be away from the chaos and just kind of just bond with your teammates. But now it's cool that the Blackhawks fans will be able to see Anton Frondell for the first time in person, and seeing that red number 15 sweater as well.
Yeah, I think that's something the Cubs used to do when they're bringing people up, was they'd bring up their top guys on the road, so they didn't deal with the zoo. So it does help that they can kind of just settle in. I mean, you look at Frondell, he's got 4 points in 4 games, and he's coming home. So I'm sure the fans will be fired up about that.
All right, we'll be fired up as well. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Our next show is going to be back on track Tuesday, April 7th at 7 p.m. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.